Hello, everyone out there in Internet Radio Land. It's time once again for the 5-Point Podcast. I'm your co-host, Bobcat.
And I am very sorry.
Well then, Mr. Sorry, should I call you very? Ha ha ha, oh, we do have fun.
We don't. You made me watch this.
Yes, it's time for another anime review, and this week, at the suggestion of my friend Hike Yagami,
who I will be murdering,
we decided to watch Nanaka 617, which... looks like it should be Nanaka 617ths, but... oh, those wacky Japanese and their number titles.
Wait, I thought she was 16.
Nope, 6/17.
Yeah, but she was 16 in the first episode.
No, she wasn't.
Yeah, she was. Well, she might have just had a birthday or something.
Yeah, she was in a coma for a bit, but we're getting entirely out of order. As always with the 5-Point Podcast, we have our 5 review points that we will be covering to make our rambling have some sense of a structure.
Well, I work to subvert that at every turn.
Yes. So, point one. First impressions. What did we think before we actually started watching the show? Burke, you can go first.
Well, I know I'm going to have better first impressions, if only because it wasn't Darth's friend here is the one who, well, suggested this review instead of Heat Guy J. How do I keep screwing that name up? Next week's going to be really fun. Anyways, instead of Heat Guy J, she, I assume it's a she, I'm not sure, suggested this anime.
Yep, she's a she.
And I kind of know Darth Bobcat's friends. I know that they're not likely to suggest something horrifically terrible on purpose.
Right, they're good like that.
Then I read the episode summary. And apparently I missed the fact that it's supposed to be starring a girl, and I thought it was the adventures of a 16-year-old guy who hits his head and becomes mentally disabled to the point where he thinks he is a 6-year-old guy. And just, I did not expect anything good from this. I expected the worst kind of awfuls.
See, I was kind of similar in that my first impression was not well informed. She gave me the link to watch it on YouTube, and it's actually one of the few anime you can watch on YouTube that's a legit link on YouTube from the actual people who own the license.
But we actually have a better source to watch it at.
Yes, we'll cover that later. And I just jumped into the first episode after looking at some of the pictures and very briefly glancing at the series description. So I thought it was about a magical girl who was a 6-year-old who turned into an adult to fight evil. This is partially because, by some coincidence, most of the shows Hike Yagami winds up watching or recommending to me are magical girl in some variety.
You notice how we had entirely different reasons to think that this was going to be terrible.
Actually, I thought it would... just the premise I thought sounded terrible, but I figured that if Hika liked it, it had something to it. She's never recommended anything to me where I just said, who would like this? So that was our first impression. We were wary. We weren't sure what we were getting into. Now it's time... for point two. Point two is, of course, the story. Poor Burke. Cute is not his thing.
This is not cute.
I respectfully disagree. The plot of this story is you have a teenage girl named Nanaka, and she is a joyless witch. But I don't mean, I'm just like, you know, avoiding curse words. So in the first episode, she spends the whole time nagging her childhood friend, Nenji. She fakes illness to get out of gym so that she can keep studying, because that's all she does. Study, 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 study. And to be fair, it's not like she's the only jerk in the series. Everyone at her school is also a jerk.
Including the pink-haired girl, though we'll get to her later.
Yes. Because she faints in gym class, even though she's faking, and everyone just keeps... oh, okay, let's go back to playing volleyball.
It's kind of remarkable. It's like the absolute jerk zero moment of a high school.
Yeah, it's like the author was trying to make them all seem as jerky as possible.
Even the guy, who I don't know the name of, he...
Nenji.
I don't understand the words that are coming out of your mouth. Even the guy, he's just... he's not... Okay, I'm sure most of you have seen Bleach. He's Ichigo, but a little bit more stereotypical, and without the blonde hair.
Well, for one thing, Ichigo has red hair, hence everyone calls him Strawberry.
He's blonde to me.
But he is your very stereotypical high school delinquent character. He gets in fights constantly. He doesn't have any direction in his life. And that's what Nanaka is nagging at him about.
Oh, if you call them fights.
Yeah, they're kind of ridiculously one-sided to call a fight, I suppose. He is very good at what he does. Now, the thing is, a lot of shows like this say, he reminded you of Ichigo. He reminded me of Yusuke from Yu Yu Hakusho.
That's a little bit harder to do because Yusuke has a lot more character to him, where Ichigo at the start of Bleach was kind of stereotypical himself.
Right, but Ichigo, as I recall, wasn't necessarily a delinquent.
Yes, Yusuke was. That...
Okay, it's been a while since I've watched the start of Bleach, so...
He just had mildly good grades, for the most part.
Ah, right. Some series will build an entire show around the nagging girl and the delinquent high school student, and he'll never do more than just complain mildly. No, to this show's credit, he calls her out on it in the very first episode.
Yeah, but of course, well, we'll get to that in a minute.
Yes, after calling him out, Nanaka, it's not clear what happens. The camera pans away for a second while he walks away angry after he's told her, stay out of my life. Just because we were friends when we were little doesn't mean you get to tell me how to live my life.
Which, to be fair, she is kind of overbearing.
Not kind of. She is extremely overbearing. He turns around, and she has fallen down a flight of stairs and hit her head on the concrete ground.
I like to think that she tried to jump off and fly, for comically realizing that she couldn't.
Yeah, I'm not clear what was going on. I would almost say maybe she had like a swooning incident for a second there. Like, before I saw the rest of the show, I thought, did she do that on purpose to try and make him feel bad?
Okay. One of the big things I have about this show is I'm not entirely convinced that what's going on is legit. Because honestly, I'm still working under that assumption. And that would make her the most terrible character of all time.
Yes. Yes, it would. If you actually faked what she did with whatever with what happens around here, or what happens through the whole show, bravo, you are the Eric Cartman of anime.
It's a terrible thing.
If it's real, it's tragic. And what happens is, she wakes up in the hospital a few hours later, and she has mentally regressed to back when she was 6. Now, initially for me, this was sort of a strike against the show, because while I didn't know them, something sort of similar happened to someone at my church, and it wasn't cute. They had some sort of brain, let's see, what was it? I think it was meningitis or some sort of fever killed their brain to the extent where they were mentally 6.
Thankfully, this is anime land where brain diseases and brain damage is magical and fun and not actually dangerous to the person at all.
Yeah, it's just sort of funny how it's a very sort of cutesy show, and it's built on brain damage.
This anime has taught me something. Apparently, if you push someone down a flight of stairs and have them land headfirst on a bunch of concrete, not only will they not injure their heads in any way, not even, you know, bust their lip open or anything, but they will hit a magical reset button in their brain and become a child again. So, apparently the way to save your grandmother from Alzheimer's, take her to that staircase, baby.
Oh. But, yeah, so Nanaka becomes mentally 6 again. And she believes that what happened was, when she was a child, her mother died, and she was crying, and Nenji, trying to comfort her, took out the magical wand for the... Like, it's a toy based on an anime she really liked called Magical Girl Domiko, and they chanted together, Magical Domiko Power, let's grow up, or something like that, because he was like, grown-ups don't cry.
Hey, wait a minute. Question... How long has that anime been running in this universe?
Actually, I'll bring that up when we talk about, actually, I guess we're in story right now.
Yes.
So part of the story, which seems completely irrelevant at first, so Burke only watched the first 3 episodes. I got hooked and watched the whole thing over the course of a couple of days.
I'll explain why I haven't seen the first 3 later, or have...
You've only seen the first 3, you mean?
I'm retarded!
Yes. Well, you know, you tried to fix yourself by throwing yourself down the stairs, and...
That helps! Now I'm 8.
Anyways, one of the aspects of the show is that there's a... Remember how I mentioned that I thought the show was going to be about a little girl who turned into a grown-up to fight crime. That was actually the plot of Baby Nanaka's favorite anime called Domiko. Now, Burke raises an interesting point. In Japan, there's no reason this show would still be running.
None.
And magical girl shows do not last that long. As far as I can tell, it's just, it was 53 episodes long, it did end, it's just that it's still so beloved that they run reruns of it occasionally.
I just now realize this, for the record. It is bizarre.
Yes, there are a number of bizarre things in this show. So, Nanaka gets regressed to age 6, and they decide... And they decide not to tell the school about this. They decide to just see if she can recover on her own. And this isn't just her dad, who's a sort of a sad sack writer, or he's a sad sack who's a novelist for a living. It's not like just her dad deciding this on her own. Apparently the medical professionals at the hospital also have backed this plan.
And keep in mind, mentally, maturity-wise, everything, she is 6 years old. She has brain damage. And no one at her high school knows this.
Yes.
Which means
except for Nenji.
Yes.
And so the show is about Nenji playing damage control on this grown, or the semi-grown woman, thinking she's a 6-year-old who is magically turned into a grown-up by magic.
So, basically, imagine that you have this best friend. You and her don't always get along. She's not exactly popular at school. Then she gets brain damage, and she's forced to go back to school with you as her personal guardian, without anyone else being able to learn the fact, and you have to keep it a secret.
Yes. This is not a show that stands up well to would this work in reality type scrutiny. I would, if I had to say, to compare it to last week's show, Baka and Test.
I like that show more.
I'm not getting into that right now, but what I'm saying is that Baka and Test, the technology is absolutely ridiculous. Holograms that can pick up tables.
Yes.
That either means that, one, the hologram is solid somehow to pick up the table, or two, their school is a holodeck, and every piece of furniture in it is a hologram already.
Well, if we're working with holodeck-level technology, then the hologram would obviously be able to pick up a real-world object.
That's true.
Star Trek.
I guess you're right. Never mind. It's still a ridiculous level of technology.
It is.
The actual situation of Baka and Test, if you allow that one thing, it's still kind of ridiculous, but you can sort of see it happening maybe at a crazy private school.
Yeah. Well, even then, it falls under the fact that it's more entertaining than not, and it doesn't try to be the real world. As Bobcat even mentioned, he knows someone who had something similar happen to them. And in the real world, it's... Oh, dear God.
Yeah, so the show has that working against it from the start. It is trying to be cutesy, but it is built on brain damage. So I think we've talked about... So that's as much of a story as we'll get into. So I've seen the whole show. Burke's only seen the first 3 episodes. Our summary so far is what you would have gotten from the first 3 episodes.
Basically, yeah, the only other things are character-related, and we'll cover those.
Right now, in fact. Third point, characters. Burke, you have some strong feelings about Nanaka.
Oh, dear God. Okay, as a character, in theory, she's not bad. She's not. I'll get to her animation later, because it is notable, in a fashion. It's her voice, and I'm not sure if we should save this for later or not, but it is a huge part of her character.
Right. She, you know, this should really be under section 4, but since this colors how you feel about the character so much, I'll just let you discuss this part of the voice acting right now. This is such a major part of the character for you that we can discuss it here and now.
Yeah, because this is really the main reason why I can't get into this show. Her voice actress, I can only assume it's the same one who did her when she was mentally all there. She should not voice little girl characters. Or at least, she should not voice little girl characters who are the A, focus of the show, and B, the one who says the most of every other character. even when she's not actually using real words.
Yeah, she has this little verbal tic where when she's confused or something, she'll say, hi-ya-ya, or ha-wa-wa.
You people can't hear that, but that was me cringing.
Amusingly, this is something that you wouldn't know, but that isn't her being a cute little girl. That's all her dad's fault. He says that, when he's confused one time, he says, ah-ya-ya, or something like that, in a blink-and-you'll-miss-it scene.
So it's hereditary.
It's entirely because he socialized her wrong.
It is hereditaries. Oh, dear. Oh, Lord. And it's just very grating, and she does it very, very poorly. The verbal tics themselves wouldn't be that bad if she didn't use them a lot. Half of her dialogue may be verbal tic.
Now, I will provide a counterpoint, or an opposing viewpoint. I didn't think she was all that annoying, personally. I can see where someone would think she was annoying.
Hi.
But I have a high tolerance for cute.
This is not cute. I will disagree with you, sir.
And you're welcome to do so. But that's enough about the voice. Now let's actually talk about the character. Nanaka is really two characters.
One of them we don't get to see much of, and thank God for that, and the other we see too much of.
Yes. Like I said, adult Nanaka, I say adult because, I guess, teenager Nanaka is...
high strung.
She's the sort of person who sucks the joy out of life. And this is revealed later, I surmised it from the first episode. The scene where she and Nenji grab the thing and use the magic to make them grow up.
Mm-hmm.
That colored her entire life from that point onward.
Yeah, that was kind of obvious.
Yeah, she just decided to focus on being a grown-up at the expense of everything else. She went from age 6 to age 30 mentally.
Yeah, and, well, yeah, you can see the problems with that.
Right.
So hey, good job, generic anime main character. You screwed up her life and made her jump off a staircase thing.
Yes. Now, one interesting thing is, little girl, Nanaka, she's very hyperactive, she throws herself into everything completely, and to the writer's credit, this was based on a manga, so I'm going to assume that this is condensed from that pretty faithfully, even though it isn't available in the U.S., and I didn't really look it up much.
You didn't try.
Yes, I'm sorry. I did other research. Well, it'll come up later, but...
you're made of shame.
Yes, but anyways, she, you can actually see her, if she was depressed, devoting herself completely to being a grown-up. Because in the second episode, she decides she wants to play the piano for some sort of music recital her class is putting on. Now, she'd played piano before her brain trauma, and a little bit when she was a kid, but...
That was 11 years ago.
Yes. Her piano-playing ability was completely wiped out along with her education, and... She wanted so badly to play the piano well and not let anyone down that she practiced until her fingers bled. Now, I didn't even know that was possible.
It is. Only if you have an irresponsible teacher, though. Which we'll get to later!
Yes. So that's Nanaka. She put... whatever the age, she puts herself into everything. It's just that at age 6, she was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and she just wanted to go out there and see everything and do everything. She has, like, a dozen things she wants to be when she grows up simultaneously.
I want to push her down another flight of stairs.
And the adult Nanaka, she's completely devoted to being an adult and getting into a good school and having a good career, possibly with Nenji along.
You get the feeling that she's like 2 steps away from putting a leash around his neck.
Yeah. She doesn't necessarily like him as a person. She just wants him to be a suitable companion.
Well, okay, let's get away from this subject now.
Right, let's get back to Nenji.
Do we have to?
Well, yes. While Nanaka does more, one could make a case that he is actually the main character of the show.
He's so generic, though.
That doesn't keep him from being a main character. It just impacts his ability to be a good main character.
I thought we already described him.
Let me rephrase that. He is sort of our viewpoint character. He is the one who is there to react to Nanaka's whimsical silliness.
He has some anger issues, likely because of disappeared family, I guess.
His mom does show up later, and she does have the same ridiculous Goku-ish hairstyle he does.
Oh yeah, that's right. His hairstyle is Look, he's generic anime lead character number 27, okay? The only thing he has that makes him stand out in any fashion is that he's, well, A, guilt-ridden as crap over what happened to whatever her name is.
Nanaka. Her name is the title.
I don't know what you're even saying anymore. Anyways.
Yeah, he's driven by guilt about what happened to her.
Driven by guilt. He has yet to display any kind of romantic interest in whatever her name is, which is actually a good thing, I guess, considering
she's mentally sick, yes.
Yeah, but even before then, the most he seemed was very concerned for her as a friend.
Right.
Which may work out in the favor of another character, but that is, again, for later. She will be either our third or fourth contestant, depending on if Bobcat wants to discuss the father.
The father... Yeah, okay, I guess we're done with Nenji. I'll say I like Nenji, not because he's anything distinct, but because...
He's not unlikable.
He is a good guy.
Yeah, he's too generic to be unlikable.
Yeah, well, what I'll say is that you get the feeling that he is incredibly loyal. When his friend brain-damaged herself, he stood up to the plate and has, even though he isn't a very studious guy himself, he spends hours on end coaching her up through the grade levels.
And making sure that the other kids don't, you know, abuse her.
Right. Now, as for Nanaka's father, who, just to give you an idea of how unimportant he is in the show... The Wikipedia character page lists all three fictional characters, well, all three of the main fictional characters listed in Magical Girl Domiko, but does not mention him. He is just basically there to be worried, to look after Nanaka when Nenji is off doing something else.
And be a terrible parent.
Yeah, he really is kind of a terrible parent. One gets the impression that when his wife died, he basically had no idea what to do with his daughter. And so he basically seems to condone the whole...
a little girl.
Yeah. That's one of the things I liked about this show is that even if the execution isn't always the best, there is some like real, you can sort of surmise from the character's actions, some real pathos there. Because the guy did basically lose his daughter when he lost his wife.
Pretty much. And hey, it's the main character's fault. Moral of the story. If your best friend has just lost her mother and is horribly, horribly guilt-ridden and distraught, never help her out!
Tell her to grow up, because grown-ups don't cry.
Never do that. In fact, don't comfort her at all. Just push her down a stairwell, you're going to end up making her do it anyways.
You have your magical reset button. You can have 10 years of fun first.
This is the worst anime for lessons ever. Except...
I'll disagree with you on that later, but I'll wait until the final thoughts. But now it's time to talk to... Or to talk to. Yeah, I'm going to talk to the anime character.
I didn't know a pink-haired girl it did such an impression on you, Ben.
Okay, so... In all seriousness... I guess we've passed that era ages ago.
We passed that several stairwells ago.
Yes. It's like that episode of Futurama where Professor Farnsworth got bent backwards, and because the blood was pooling in his brain, he was happy all the time, and he sang that little song about...
Delirium?
Get a new angle on life. Or whatever. All your problems can be solved by throwing yourself down the stairwell.
Pretty much.
Yes. Now, that's the third character. I'll refer to her by last name, because it isn't until, like, episode 9 or something that you find out her first name.
You could just call her Pink-Haired Girl. That's basically who she is.
Right, her name is Amemiya. Remember, last name, not first name. But that's what everyone calls her, because Amemiya is a very formal person.
She's
my favorite character.
She also wants the main character, the guy, not whatever her name is.
She has a crush on Nenji.
Yes.
I'll cut off the off-color metaphor you were about to make.
I wasn't about to make an off-color metaphor. I was going to say she just wants him bad. She wants to be putty in his pants.
Yes. So, she is sort of, I wonder how common people like her are in Japan, in the sense, not in the sense of pink hair. I mean, that's reasonably common thanks to hair dye.
I'm not sure if it's actually common. But...
Well, from exchange students I knew in high school, or that I knew or heard about in high school, hair dye is really common over there among teenagers. But she, She's an honor student. She pushes herself hard to be good at the piano. She doesn't really enjoy, or the episode in question, she didn't really enjoy playing the piano anymore. She just enjoyed the fact that she was good at it. And that made people impressed by her.
She enjoys the praise, not the fact that she can do it.
Right. And episode, like I said, she first appears at the end of episode one in a very episode one is very disjointed and weird. There's a lot of scenes that are added just for no apparent reason.
Yeah. And there's the out-of-place opening.
We'll talk about the opening in a bit. Now, actually, I will say this, though, about the first episode. After the first episode, double-check to make sure that the show wasn't based on a daily comic strip, because I was getting such an Azumanga Daioh, we're sorry that we don't really have a plot, we're just stringing together four-panel comic strips.
And we're trying to make it 20 minutes, please don't judge us!
Yes. But no, it is in fact based on a manga. But Pink-Haired Girl is one of my favorites because... Oh no, she is my absolute favorite.
She's not generic, that goes in her favor.
Right. It's kind of fun to watch her warm up as she gets exposed to Nanaka. She's a very tough character. This won't mean anything to Burke, but the character she's most like in Azumanga Daioh is Sakaki, the one who everyone admires and looks up to and thinks she's cool.
I have no idea where this is going.
But deep down, she kind of wants people to get beyond that. She just wants friends, but she doesn't really have them because she's kind of assumed a sort of natural leadership position at the school, and when you're the leader of a group of jerks, it's not going to have a good impact on your personality.
Tends not to.
She's kind of hard to describe, actually, because...
Which one?
Pink-haired girl. Because she's the most well-realized of the characters. You root for her to get with Nenji, even though the various versions of Nanaka seem to have marked their territory, either intentionally or unintentionally.
Hopefully the latter, except for the... Well, hopefully for him the latter in all regards, but hopefully not for her in one regard.
Well, the six-year-old just monopolizes his attention because she is brain-damaged and needs constant attention.
Yeah, we'll talk... We should have mentioned the third episode involves the local bully taking her around town because her glasses were broken and she thought it was him.
Yeah, we should take a step back. So that's Emma Mia. She's the best character. She gets the most development.
She's actually 3D.
Yes.
She has layers.
Nanaka is too, but you wouldn't get that from the first three episodes.
No, I didn't. You
right.
You were coloring your own opinions.
So next character is Jinpachi. Now, if Nenji vaguely resembles Yusuke from Yu Yu Hakusho, Jinpachi is exactly like Kuwabara, except he doesn't have the depth.
And Kuwabara has an odd amount of depth. This character, no, he's what Kuwabara shaves off whenever he starts to grow a beard.
Yeah, he's obsessed with beating Nenji, and then one day, and the start of the episode, like Jinpachi shows up throughout the series, but he really gets one episode where he's truly significant. He gets a second episode where he gets to do more than the one stupid joke that he and his sister do the whole time, but I'll get to that in a minute. So, Jinpachi loses a fight with Nenji, where the challenge had been, loser has to take on the other's hairstyle. For Nenji, that would have meant shaving off his ridiculous Goku hair. For Jinpachi, it means he had to buy a 3-month supply worth of hair gel.
Pretty much.
To make that happen.
For the record, he normally has a mullet, so it's not exactly like he's trading anything.
Yes, now instead of his party being in the back and his business being up in the front, his party and his business are all swirled together.
Spite is the term, much like the punch.
So, Jinpachi is wandering around one day being angry about having his hairstyle changed when he comes across Nanaka. Nanaka had just dropped her glasses and a truck had run them over. And because he had the right hairstyle, and because she was, she's mentally six and...
Blind.
Six-year-olds aren't the most clever people in the world.
Like I said, she's brain damaged. She's legitimately brain damaged.
Why she was out wandering on her own, I don't know.
Anyways, so I don't even remember what reason he had to do this.
He just decided to mess with her because she was Ninji's woman.
Yeah, and he just...
Then he develops a huge crush on her.
It's Well, it doesn't say anything really good about him either, considering the whole six-year-old mindset thing, but...
Yeah, though, what people who don't know that she's brain damaged get from her is that she's trying to be intentionally cutesy. And in a later episode, one of the girls does accuse her of doing it just to try and get attention from the guys, so I guess it works.
I don't want to contemplate that.
My favorite joke in that episode was she takes Jinpachi over to the park, and she says, "Okay, it's time to do that thing we always do." And she closes her eyes and seems to pucker her lips. He's like, "Nenji, what kind of wonderful, I mean, repugnant things have you been doing in the park?" So he leans in for the kiss, and then she stops counting in her head. 10, hi, ready or not, here I come. She grabs him. "Okay, now you seek and I'll hide."
Apparently, what's-his-name is also a terrible hide-and-seeker because she didn't think this was odd at all.
Yeah, although, I guess if I was playing hide-and-seek with a brain-damaged person, I wouldn't play to win either.
That does seem kind of a jerk move, but then again, most of this world is made of jerks, so...
Okay, so the other character who was introduced in this episode is my least favorite in the show. Burke wouldn't necessarily get why she's my least favorite character, because in her first appearance, she actually has a shot at looking interesting. If you look at some of the DVD box art, she's featured on the cover. She looks like she should be important. She has a good character design. She's a short samurai girl.
As good of a character design as anyone has in this show.
Right, it's all kind of generic in that way, but...
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. But she looks like she should be interesting. I mean, she's a little girl who seems to be living by Bushido. That's interesting.
Not so little. She looks like she's 14 or something.
Yeah, eighth grade, but she's way tinier than the rest of the cast. She appears in the theme song, and at first I thought she was like 8. And she gets a backstory. She would always try to defend her brother against Ninji when he would beat her up, and he just thought she was playing samurai because her attacks were so ineffectual.
Yeah.
And Nanaka saves her life unintentionally when she attacks Nanaka for seducing her brother or something. She doesn't think that Nanaka is worthy of him, or of her family.
Which raises some unwanted questions.
Yes, I'm just going to assume it's a cultural thing. Like, she's very conservative. So, given traditional Japanese culture, you can sort of see people caring deeply who their siblings get involved with. But it's sort of... You're having to make excuses at that point for the flimsiness of this particular plot.
I'm going to actually interrupt right quick so that I can get my thoughts out of the way, because I have had far less exposure to the character. She is a kind of plot device that jumps out of nowhere and hits the bully upside the head with a stick.
Yes, you beat me to the punch. That's why I hate the character.
That was her entire character in Episode 3. That's all she did.
Yes, but in Episode 3... there was a narrative to it. It wasn't necessarily the greatest narrative. If I had only watched the first three episodes, I would have said... I would have recommended people watch it only if they liked Episode 2, because that was the best of the three.
Yeah.
But there was a point to it. Oh, yeah. And after Nanaka accidentally saves her life, she decides that Nanaka is worthy of her brother, and so she changes her tune. It isn't that Nanaka isn't good enough, so that Jinpachi has to become good enough for Nanaka. And this leads to... the worst part of the show. Burke will say that the worst part of the show is Nanaka's voice.
Of what I've seen, anyways.
But in every single episode, every single episode, you have the exact same joke. Jinpachi will be wandering around, and he'll see Nanaka and Nenji doing whatever they're doing that episode.
Hopefully all of it legal.
Yes, all of it legal. Like, you'll just see them walking around. He'll say something about having a crush on Nanaka. Then his sister will jump out of nowhere, bash him on the head with her wooden sword, and say, "You were wide open!" And then drag him off for more manliness training or whatever. More combat training, I suppose.
So, in effect, exactly what she did in Episode 3.
Yes. They did exactly one funny variation on it, and I will spoil that right now. So they did four or five episodes of this in a row. Exactly the same joke every time. Then one time, he's out driving his motorcycle. So, of course, he has his helmet on. He spots them and sits on his still-revved motorcycle. She jumps out of nowhere. "You're wide open!" Bangs him with the wooden sword, and he does not notice. Big Brother, your training is finally carried off. I must redouble my own efforts. And she runs off.
I hope she comes back later with an actual katana.
No.
That would have been funny.
It would have been, but I thought, like, okay, that was the one time that joke was justified. If they had done that particular joke in two or three episodes, then done that one, and then ended it like that, I would not have hated her nearly as much as I do. But they kept doing it after that. They went back to the old variation.
Or at least escalated.
Yes, you have to do something different. No, what they were there to do was to kill a minute every episode.
And I'm just going to guess this, but if I had to guess, they probably reused animation for this.
Entirely possible. I never noticed that them reusing the animation for it.
Which, I guess, brings us to point number four. Would you agree?
Yeah, there are a couple of other characters, but actually, I'll just give a very brief summary. The other one, there was, because they didn't appear in the first three episodes.
There's Yoshida. They don't matter.
Well, there's Yoshida, who's an otaku who shares six-year-old Nanaka's love of magical girl Domiko.
Oh, that just sounds terrible.
Great about him is he's actually one of the more competent characters in the show. And he's actually, like, aside from being a nerd who talks about things that people don't like hearing about, he's actually a very likable character. He's very nice and helpful.
Right.
The other character that I'll mention, oh yeah, of course there's magical Domiko, but she's only barely a character. She's almost more of a stand-in for Nanaka at times, but you'll have to watch the show because you don't really need to know anything about her.
Right.
And then there's Satsuki, or not Satsuki, there's Kuriko, who is, she's a five-year-old who is jealous of, or who gets a crush on Denji. He does not seem to realize this. He's just a nice guy.
So, oh lord, it's probably done better than what I'm thinking. It's just, I haven't seen it! Because I just watched the first three.
Right. So those are so that's all the characters. So now we move on to this point four, presentation. So Burke, what would you say about the animation?
Okay, first thing to know, this anime, and we really should have mentioned this at the start, was made in 2002. So it's already going to be of slightly lower quality than an anime made, you know, recently. Dear God, 2002 is getting to be 10 years ago. What the crap. Anyways, 2002 anime. So this is kind of average, but almost terrible at times.
Yeah. They reuse animation like it's going out of style.
I guess, if you're going to be fair, it's comparable to Baka, but only if you take into account when they were both made.
Well, what I'll say is that this looks like, and I could be completely wrong here, this looks like it was done by hand. It was done before the switch to digital.
Maybe. I honestly can't be too sure. I do know that Baka has, especially that one thing that ate the budget, a lot better animation, but the main thing that comes off is, we talked about Baka's art style before. This one is a lot more generic, I think. This one doesn't stand out as much, especially in motion. In motion, a lot of scenes are just them standing stock still. No motion, nothing. The only thing that might be moving is their mouth, and if it's a far away shot, which we get a lot of the Doctor in the first episode, you don't even see the mouth moving. You just hear his voice.
Yeah, the animation is, I would not call it terrible because the characters don't go off model.
Yeah, it's not terrible. It's just very bland and very, very average at best.
I would say that it's good but lazy. Like when they bothered to animate it, there's not a lot. I didn't notice any errors or hiccups. But yeah, but at the same time, they had, like in the first episode, they had Nenji and Jinpachi fight, and they reused the exact same animation for the two fights.
Every time they fight, until they actually change up the tempo.
Yeah.
That carries over to episode two. No, the thing with it is, one thing I will give the animation. This might just be the character designer, I don't know, but 17-year-old whatever her name is, and brain-damaged whatever her name is, do look like different characters in part. She does look younger.
Right, this is mostly done by the eyes and face.
Yeah. Her face gets rounder, her eyes get less defined, and her hair is done up in a little girly way that I've noticed is popular.
Yep.
It's a side ponytail thing.
Right, it's sort of the Misty hair style.
Yeah, actually. Also, she tends to wear shapeless clothing, like heavy sweaters and the like.
Right. So that's one thing in the show's favor. They did not play up the fan service angle. Okay, they might have done it a little bit in one episode, but...
Not in the three I've seen, so I'm just going to ignore any possibility of that.
Yes. It is overall a very innocent show.
Which I thank it for greatly, considering the subject matter.
Yes, I have seen shows where they took this sort of age-changing thing and made it all gross.
I think we'll be reviewing those later.
Very possibly. Now, okay, so that's the animation. Character designs are kind of generic. It's competent, but lazy.
They work.
Yeah.
I can tell everyone apart, though if they were standing in a lineup of multiple animes, I'm not sure if I'd be able to.
Pink hair would stand out, I think.
Only because she's the only serious pink-haired girl I've seen in anime.
Yes, that alone makes her distinct. Music. Now, what did you think of the opening theme?
What?
You know, the music that they played at the start of the episode.
What? I'm sorry, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. Burke fell down the stairs.
Is it really falling when you throw yourself down them multiple times? Basically, as a not fan of the Baka theme, this is worse.
As somebody who liked the Baka theme, but a week later can't think of it, I can't even begin to imagine the tune in my mind. I didn't really like the... I'm looking at my notes here. At the start of the first episode, I did not really care for the theme song much. It's sort of a ska style. Like, the closest I would say is like the Japanese female equivalent of Real Big Fish. It has a lot of trumpets and stuff in it, but it's a rock band, so, you know, that's ska style. But by the end of it, I liked the theme song.
Well, I should make one thing perfectly clear. I'm not much of a music fan myself. I have specific songs I like. Some of them are Japanese, some of them are Spanish, some of them are Italian. One of them's Finnish. Wait, is that... Yeah, I guess that's right. Finnish? Anyways.
Scandinavian.
Why do they... Anyways. Confusion over alternate languages aside, because I am, as always, retarded, I do not generally like a lot of music. I don't. I don't know why. I don't keep up with music. It doesn't control me in any fashion. And this, dear God, I could not... Actually, I couldn't fast-forward through it, because I'd just end up running into a commercial.
Yeah. I, on the other hand... Like I said, I didn't like the song at first. It grew on me. I can, unlike Baka, I can imagine it in my head now. And
you just got done watching it, though. We'll see how you do in a week.
In a week, yeah. But with Baka, I was 2 days out and I couldn't think of it. Baka was very generic J-pop. This is more garage band type stuff.
On the plus side, it sounds better than the main character's voice.
That's a ringing endorsement.
Yes. And speaking of voices, voice acting!
Yeah,
see how I segued there? See how I did that? See? Subtle.
Yes.
I am subtlety.
Yes, Berg, you're very subtle. Thanks for repeatedly telling us about it over, by being
subtle
with it. Yes, Berg. The voice acting, okay, we've already gone over Berg's issues with Nanaka's voice.
I hate it!
Personally, I thought that the voice actors did a good job of keeping the two voices distinct, but I can, like I said, I can concede that some people would find it very annoying.
Hi, how are you?
So yeah, the rest of the voice acting, it was done by ADV, who was one of the big anime companies until they went bankrupt.
I can see why, but...
Yeah, now I won't say that the dub is bad, just that comparing the two studios, even on shows that have really good casts, Funimation wins every time.
It's very late 90s dubbing.
Which it shouldn't be, considering that this was dubbed in 2008, I believe.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
That's really depressing. I was under the impression that it was dubbed earlier than that. Like at 2003 or so.
Nope.
Oh, wow, that changes a lot of my opinions on the dubbing. I was originally going to excuse it as being a product of its time. Maybe kind of good for its time. No, this is kind of terrible for its time.
Yeah. Well, one thing I noticed is that if you listen carefully, and I noticed this sometimes on shows like The Simpsons when they were made in the 90s, but not so much anymore, sometimes you can hear the voice echoing out through the voice acting booth. when characters are not standing in any sort of enclosed space.
Yes.
Like if they're yelling or something. You have to kind of be carefully listening for it, but it's there.
I'm not terribly surprised. But the thing of it is, like, not all of them have terrible voices. The main characters are all competently voiced. 17-year-old main character has a good voice until she gets brain damaged, which might be the point, I'm not sure.
I think they just thought it was cuter than you think it is.
No, puppies are cute. That is not a puppy. The generic male lead has a pretty solid voice. All things considered, it's generic as he is, so, you know, it fits him.
Yeah.
The father has an okay voice. I can't really critique it. It's not out of place. And pink-haired girl has a very good voice for her character. Not what I was expecting from her hair.
No, she sounds like an adult.
Wow, this is gonna...
In fact, she sounds more like an adult than an adult Nanaka.
Yeah. Yeah. The rest of the characters, though, including the bully, are either stereotypical or, well, terrible. Okay?
Yeah.
So yeah, main characters got all the voice acting love.
Definitely. And none of them are free from the issues of recording in, I guess, someone's coat closet.
Mind, I can't really say much myself. I'm recording in a shed.
So sub versus dub. I couldn't find the sub anywhere, aside from legal downloads.
He wouldn't let me illegally download it.
I never said you couldn't. I just said I wasn't going to. But I would say that there is a good chance that the sub is better than the dub. I would say if you have it on DVD or something, try both. See which one you like better.
Yes, it's uncharted territory for us. Though, I guess this brings us to our final part.
Well, yes, let's see. So we've covered music, animation, and... Yeah, nothing else really stood out to me in this one as far as how it was put together. There were some writing issues, but we already covered them under story. Some of the early episodes feel really disjointed and cut together badly.
Yes, they do.
It gets better later on. Like, it gets better in episode 2 compared to episode 1.
Oh, yeah. I can agree to that.
So, yes. Final thoughts. Burke, would you recommend this to anyone?
If they're watching it where we watched it, either YouTube or this other anime place, which I am sure Darth Bobcat is going to link, most likely on the blog, if you have time, it might appeal to you. It's not bad, really. It's just got a whole lot of flaws to it.
And I will definitely acknowledge all of those flaws.
Yeah.
Just that for me personally, I started watching it on... I think I watched episode 1 on Monday, wasn't very impressed. Watched episodes 2 and 3, and just wanted to keep going.
I did not have that at all. I watched them all fairly recently, but that's largely because I've been doing things this week that need not be gotten into. Anyways!
Now I personally would... Let's see here. I would recommend this... What's interesting about this show is that, except with a couple of minor exceptions, it's the only anime out there... The only anime I've seen in recent years where I would say, you can watch this with your 10-year-old.
No, I can't say that. Not for the reason you may think, but because I am dead certain that there are other anime you can watch with your 10-year-old.
Okay, but just by what I've been exposed to, everything else I would want certain scenes cut out.
Bobcat, you and I both know most of what you've been subjected to is not the norm.
That's true, but, I mean, just watching reviews like,
Reviews!
Well, I mean, okay, look, just, this is more innocent than most anime.
Well, in content, maybe. Idea behind it, well...
No, it's very strange to build a cutesy series around this type of thing.
Yeah.
I give them props for creativity on that.
No.
Fine.
I'm grumpy.
I noticed. But I would say, let's see, I guess the show closest to the feel of it I've seen recently would probably be Tokyo Mew Mew or some other sorts of magical girl shows like that. It's like, it's meant for little kids. There is actually some stuff in here for grown-ups watching with little kids because the character interaction is interesting. What I'll say is that last week, I would say that Baka and Test is probably better as far as a comedy goes. as far as the animation goes, the voice acting, but it wasn't really about anything.
Yeah, this is... Baka and Test had a story that was driving it, sort of. It had strong, dynamic characters that were pushing things forward. This one, by its nature, doesn't really have that. And on that basis, it's not all that bad. I can't recommend it. At least, I can't recommend you buy it. But watching it on Hulu, where it is available, or on the other website, which Bobcat will link to...
I believe it's Anime Network.
Just give them the link.
I will.
Still, my final thoughts on the whole mess. I can enjoy a cutesy anime, but this just pushed a lot of bad buttons, especially the main character's voice. And the fact that she... Oh, Lord, she talks a lot. She gets more dialogue than any other character, and she never changes her voice.
Right. Now, what I'd say is... What I was saying a minute ago, you were right. Baka and Test is a much more dynamic show with better voice acting. What I would say is that this is a show that is actually about something. It's asking, or it's exploring things. How well it's exploring things is up to you, but... It's asking questions like, what do we lose as we grow up? What does it mean to grow up? I mean, Nanaka at the start of it has a very distinct answer of what that is, to be a humorless harpy.
I can't agree with that, because this is the show that taught us the lesson that if your best friend as a child loses her mother and is emotionally distraught, that you convince her to grow up, stop being a child, become unhappy, unpopular, and a horrible human being, and then throw herself off a staircase to hit a magical reset button.
Okay, but that's just sort of like what we... It's just sort of the suspension of disbelief. It's what lets the series happen. It's like complaining
they
about...
They tore that out of my eardrums.
Okay, fair enough. So overall, Burke doesn't recommend it. I'd say give it a shot. There are several places you can try it for free. I did some shopping for it. If you feel the need to own it, they have it on Amazon, but there's only like 2 copies left because it's out of print. And you can buy digital copies of it from Amazon.
I will recommend it if you want to watch it for free, not to buy it. I see no reason to want to buy it.
If you love it that much, that's where you can get it.
There are stranger things in the universe, I will admit. Now, if you excuse me, I'm going to go throw Ben down a flight of stairs. He's getting too old for his own good.
Oh no, oh no, ah! Ay-ay-ay, my head!
Ah, what have I done?
Da-da-da-da-da-da, bum.
I hate you.